a lot of times associated with giving a schmooze. But this is not going to be a schmooze. Danny, you look too tired for a schmooze. This is kind of like a, not like a shiur, but a light shiur, but not on a light topic. And what I like to explain is what we're doing in Slichus, the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachman. We start screaming, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun. And, you know, it's a sad reality that a lot of us don't know what we're doing. And it seems like everyone's making a big deal out of it, but on the other hand, we have no idea what's going on. So I'd like to just give a crash course in what is going on. This is probably the most important thing to know about, aside from the actual tshuva process, which is, what is Hashem giving us over here? Hashem revealed something called the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachmim, 13, like a formula, that if you say it, somehow it breaks through the Shamayim and gets things done. So I'd like to try to discuss this with you a little bit. And we have to go to the beginning. We're going to go very basic over here, which is, why do we have a din? I mean, does Hashem have something against us that it's very harsh, this Rosh Hashanah thing. It's very intimidating. You know, why does he want us to have judgment? And the answer is one-fold. There's only one reason that Hashem wants us to have judgment. You know, as a parent, I can tell you that the best thing for people to grow up with is their own accomplishments. I mean, a parent can try to cushion everything for their kids, but if they do, the kids won't be so well developed because they wouldn't have done anything on their own. It's actually interesting. I was speaking to a kid who has a lot of wealth. He actually has millions of dollars in his name, and he told me he kind of wishes that he was poor because he never really had to do anything, and he doesn't feel capable of doing things because he sort of has everything taken care of in life. When a person has challenges and a person has tests, they become something. And the real purpose of all this, the sole purpose actually, of getting tested is to succeed. The whole goal of Rosh Hashanah, the whole reason why Hashem gives us challenges, is so that we could earn our way and become people that when we get to Olam Haba, we earned it. We don't feel like we're getting a handout. The Kabbalists, the Mekubalim say, based on early sources, it's already the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato explains, that there's nothing worse for a neshama than getting a handout. When it comes to Olam Haba, it wants to tell Hashem, Hashem, I did it. It was me. It was me. And really the goal of getting tested is that we can do it, we can succeed, and when you pass a test, you feel good about yourself. I remember I had test phobia till late in life, even going till when I was in Kailo. And I remember we got a big test on Avodah Zarah on 21 Blat Be'iyun. And I, you know, a lot of times in Kolos, I didn't take the check. I didn't take the paycheck. So usually because of that, I felt I had wiggle room. This is like, you know, the spoiled rich kid. So I felt like I don't have to take the test. And no, this kolo was a kolo where they didn't care. You're taking this test. And I was very nervous because, you know, when you see a grade, you feel like, whoa, that's me. It's scary. And I was very nervous about it. And my chavrusa was a big Mitsuyan. And the pshara was that he was going to grade my test. And I, you know, he wasn't going to do me a favor, but I still felt like he wouldn't judge me. You know, it was like the Rosh Kollel doing it was more scary. And I don't remember if I got 100 or not. I just remember he wrote, way to go, Beryl. He called me Beryl. And a smiley face. But I aced the Bechina. It was 21 blot Be'iyun. And I felt great afterwards. And I realized that, you know, it is scary taking a test. But if you do well on a test, you build a certain confidence. You build a certain level of within yourself that you couldn't have without a test. And essentially Rosh Hashanah and life itself is a big test where you earn your way. Avraham Avinu had 10 tests, right? It's not by coincidence that Hashem created the world with 10 sayings. just like Hashem created the world with 10 sayings, Avraham built himself with 10 challenges. He responded to those challenges. He took what was coming to him in life, and he responded well, and he became big for it. And this is the background that you need to know, is that ultimately the whole reason why Hashem created this test called life is because he knows we can pass, and he wants us to feel good about it. But, now here's the big but. The big but is it's hard, right? And so you could say that if it's hard, then it's almost like feels like unfair, but you have to have a test. So what does Hashem do? Hashem has different ways of making this test doable. Lamashal, let's say you have in a classroom the nerdiest guy with the biggest glasses, like the old days they had what's called a pocket protector. I don't think they have them anymore. He's a very nerdy guy. He wore his pants up to here. And he always does well on the tests, and he's always behaving nicely. And he gets a 75 on the test, okay? This is like, wow. He got the highest grade in the class, and he got a 75, and he's the guy who's supposed to do well. So what happens? There's something called a curve. And the way a curve works is you bump up the lowest grade to you bump it up 25 points. And now, you know, finally, this was like my best. I remember this in high school. Like, I was always like the guy. I wasn't a student. I remember, you know, when your 60 turns to an 80, you're like, yeah, come home with your head high. Those are my big days, right? Now, Lamaisa, you could say that's strange, but why is there a curve? Everyone should just get the grade they got. But really, it doesn't work like that, because the test, obviously, there's something wrong with the test. It's not fair. If the most studious guy in the class got a 75, it means that it's not a test that's doable. You can't get 100, so it's like not fair. It's not fair. And really, it makes sense to bump up the grades 25 points. Now, Hashem, when he put us into this world, he created it with total judgment, and we would have failed miserably. We all would have gotten a 50 on the test. And then we'd come home to our parents with a 50, and we'd all feel like dirt. You know, we feel like these losers who get 50s. The entire world would get a 50 on the test, maybe a 40 or a 30, probably a 20. We all would have, maybe a 10. We all would have gotten a 10. And we all would have felt like total non-factors in this universe. And basically, Hashem saw that that would not work. So he created something called Rachamim. He took the world from judgment to a place called Rachman, which means mercy. Now, what's fascinating over here, and this my Rebbe points out, Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal, but it's really explicit in the Mesilas Yesharim. Rachman does not mean now Hashem just feels bad for you and you could just stop taking the test. Rachman means you're still getting judged, but it's what we call livable judgment. It's judgment that's fair for us. It's for our class. It's like a curve. You're still taking the test. You're still studying for the test, but you're going to do better on the test than you would have done, much better. You could get 25 points, 30 points, maybe even 50 points higher than you should have scored, because now Hashem's using new considerations, and those new considerations allow you to succeed. Now, I just gave you over in just a couple minutes how life works. This is how Hashem works things. Hashem challenges us to take the test, but at the end of the day, there's an incredible curve. And that curve is not a freebie. It has rules, just like a curve in a class, that when the lowest grade is a 75, it makes sense, according to the rules of testing, to jump up 25. It has real laws. These are laws. Just like there are laws to nature, there are laws to the curve. And Hashem has a lot of different rules of how to bump up our scores, okay? And if we didn't have that, we would fail miserably. So we need outside help. So here we are. We're in Aser Simei Tshuva, and we're doing the Tshuva thing. And I would like to announce that I hope, Bli Neder, I'm not promising, but I hope that next week to give Shmuz, maybe I never gave the Shmuz like this, a practical and realistic guide to doing Tshuva. Right? That's refreshing, right? Something that's practical and realistic, because I think we're a little bit lost, and I think it's not as daunting and scary as we think it is. It's a little simpler. But we're doing tshuva, we're trying. But come on. come on, as I speak to everybody, everyone has their challenges, and we feel like we're failing miserably. So what Hashem does is, along with us studying for the test and working out our issues, Hashem is helping us on the side with all sorts of computations. My best muscle for this that I can think of in my head, you know, when you go into the airport, right? I know here, I don't know in America, they have these, not escalators, but they're like walk-a-lators, I don't know. What are they called? What's the official term for these things? What are they called? Moving sidewalks, okay? Now, what you do on these moving sidewalks, it's shami b'machlokas. There's a big machlokas what you do, okay? You have one guy just plops himself with his suitcase. It's like, oh, right? And then you have, like, the people who want to use the moving sidewalk to, like, go triple the speed. And they hate the guys, like, the old man with the suitcase. They just, like, knock him over, right? And then you have my kids who are doing the sprint to see how far they can go. Like, three types of people all smushed on this thing. I don't recommend going on it because there's a lot of tension on these things. As you know, there's a big, you know, and sometimes the two of the suitcases are blocking, and then you have stewardesses who really have to get to a flight, and it's a whole balagan, right? But one thing that you do on this, and I recommend trying it if the airport is quiet, try sprinting on this thing. Actually, go in a comfortable jog. Just jog on this thing, right? And at the end, you get thrown out. It's the coolest thing. Okay, has anyone done it in the crowd? You could raise your hand. Right? It's a lot of fun, okay? I can't help but do it. I walk like this so that I still look sophisticated and in case a bucker is in the airport, and it still works. Phew! You get thrown out, right? What's happening? Something amazing is happening. You're walking, and you're going at your speed, but somebody's moving the floor for you, and it's kind of interesting. If you watch the people pass by, you're just like cruising past them. Right? That's exactly what happens over here with Hashem and Tshuva. We're doing Tshuva, but the sidewalk is going on its own. If you start walking on this thing, you're going to go very, very fast because Hashem wants us to succeed, and He created a formula for us to succeed. And you'll end up, if you ever leave that sidewalk, which we should never leave it because it's Hashem's special sidewalk, you'd like a rocket ship. You'd be thrown out of that thing. You won't know what happened. It's kind of like, you know, when you're on a plane, you don't feel like you're going 300 or 400 or 500 miles an hour, but you are. While you're sipping your coffee is moving that fast, right? So you're sitting there, right? It's kind of crazy. If you would watch your coffee from the outside of the plane, like, pew! It's like a flying coffee and it doesn't even spill. It's unbelievable. That's what's happening to us when we are in this tshuva process. Is Greyhound used to have a slogan, they still have Greyhound? It's a bus company. It says, get on the bus and leave the rest to us. So this is tshuva. You get on the bus and leave the rest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'd like to describe a little bit what Hashem is doing for us over here with these Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim, what exactly Hashem did over here. Basically, Klal Yisrael had done the most fatal error possible, better known as the Chet Ha'egel, right? The golden calf. And this was like the point of no return. Basically the point of no return. And Moshe Rabbeinu spent a lot of time on Har Sinai, right? Three sets of 40 days. And he brought down a second set of Luchos. We actually were able to restore our relationship with Hashem. And Hashem gave us a formula. He gave us a special formula that whenever we're in trouble and we need a boost on our test, when we need a curve, if we say this formula with absolute sincerity, right, in the process of tshuva, while we're doing tshuva, then Hashem starts bumping up our score, bumping it up over and over again. Now, it's going to be obviously very deep to try to understand what exactly happened over here. And please bear with me. I know it's a tinus, but this is a very fascinating topic. Hashem did something that's absolutely strange. It's unprecedented in history. Is Hashem came to Moshe, and we wouldn't be able to say it, the Gemara says, if the Pasuk doesn't say it, but it seems like Hashem came as a shliach tzibur, davening for the Amud. Imagine, obviously Hashem has no body. It's an apikorsis to say that Hashem is a body. But Hashem, Ki'ilu, came as a Shliach Sibor and showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to daven, and Hashem davened to Hashem. That's what Hashem did. Hashem davened and taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachman. Now that's very strange, right? What good is it to have Hashem being a Shliach Sibor to daven to himself, right? And I'm going to tell you something very deep that happened over here. And all of this I was makabel from my Rabbeim. In such a topic, I would never add my own creativity. It's too dangerous. But basically what Hashem did was said the following. This is the message of Hashem davening to himself. He says, normally I deal with you on the regular test level, on the regular level that you're used to. But there's an aspect of my existence that's far beyond what you're used to. It almost looks like Hashem is calling on higher forces of himself, parts of Hashem in his absolute unity that he doesn't reveal usually, that are so high that it looks like almost like Hashem is davening to himself. He's calling upon something that is full Rachman, the highest levels of Rachman possible. That's this idea. Hashem puts on a talis. The idea of a talis is, again, don't think of Hashem as a physical person, it's a mashal. But a talis is white, and Rabbeinu Bachai says the word talis means to be elevated. It's about making everything white and making everything elevated. Imagine you could have a system that would take all your averis and just start turning them into white, like snow. That is the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachman. That's what Hashem gave us over here. So I just want to go over, you'll see, this is the intro to every Slicha that we have. Slichos is set up basically like the way the Levush explains it, like a regular davening. It starts with Ashrei, like Mincha. Then there's Psukim, also like Ashrei. Then there's Yud Gimel Midos. Yud Gimel Midos is like the Shemona Esrei. Since it's so intense and so important, all the Yud Gimel Midos are considered a very big Shemona Esrei. Everything in the middle is less significant. All the Slichos that we say are important, but they're not the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachman. They're not even why we say Slichos. They sort of just get us in a zone to get ready to say the Yud Gimel Midos again. Each Slicha, which is hard to understand, gets us prepared to say the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachman again, and then we say Tachnun, just like at Mincha. We end off with Tachnun, and that's how we do Slichos. But Kael Melech Yoshev is a introduction to the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachman. It says the following. Kael, Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachmim, Hashem. Kael, we're going to explain in a second, means the most merciful that Hashem is. Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachmim, Hashem sits on a throne of mercy, meaning Hashem's not out to get us. Hashem wants us to win. He's sitting on a Kisei Rachmim. Misnaig b'chasidus, Hashem is being flexible. Chasidus, when Hashem acts like a chasid, it means he wants to let things go. He wants to let things slide. He wants you to succeed on this test. That's his mentality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at this moment. Mochel avonos amo, mava rishon. Hashem forgives averus. And also, he lets you have a couple freebies. The Rambam writes, you can make two mistakes, you get two freebies. I wouldn't recommend doing this. You know, now everyone's going to run out and go, hey, I didn't get my freebies yet. I don't know if it works that way. But it doesn't, actually. But if the Rambam says that on the third, the scales start working. And the Mefarshim explain, Mavir Rishon means Hashem lets as much as he can slide before he even starts the test. Oh, that was a practice run. Let's start again. Oh, that was a practice run. Like, you know, we do this like... We go, can I try again? Can I try again? Okay, fine. That was a practice. Another one. Hashem is a mavir rishon. He wants to let as much slide as possible. Marba mechila l'chatoyim m'sich l'poshim. He forgives chatoyim, which are things that we do by accident, and even things that we do on purpose. We'll discuss how in a few minutes. Slicha l'poshim. Oset staka sim kol basav ruach. Hashem's giving out staka. He's giving out as much stucca as possible. Lo kira sam tigmal. Hashem does not punish you based on how bad you are. That's what we're saying in this. We're preparing ourselves to really see Hashem in a different light. This is the opposite, if you will, of the way we're afraid on Rosh Hashanah. The mentality over here is that Hashem wants us to win, that the dice are loaded and it's in our favor, that Hashem wants this to happen. Now we say, Kael, Hashem, who's the total Rachman, Horeisa lanu lomar shlosh esrei. You taught us how to do this formula. How? Through Moshe Rabbeinu. Zechar lanu ayom bri shlosh esrei. Remember what you told Moshe Rabbeinu, that this will fix our problems, that this formula is the secret to success. Kimosha hodata le'onov mikadem. Like you told the modest one originally. Who's the modest one? Who is the modest one that we're talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, why are we calling him the modest one? So over here, we're explaining the following. Hashem, why was Moshe Zocha to get this formula? What does a modest person do? A modest person, by nature, lets things slide. He lets things slide. You rank on him. He goes, okay, I'm good. He lets things slide. That's what a modest person does. In fact, the Rambam says, I'll tell you a story that will wake up anyone on a tinus. This will wake you up, Danny, for sure. This won't wake you up. I don't know how much Yud Gimel Midas will get done, but at least with the story. The Rambam talks about what's the greatest anuf possible. There was a guy who was on a ship, and it seems like he was sleeping in the baggage. And there was a man who was looking at him funny from the deck. And he sees this guy, and he looks like, oh, look at that guy in the baggage. And he decides he's going to go to the bathroom. And he starts to urinate all over the guy in the baggage, okay? This is really a sad story, right? And the guy in the baggage was a very chush of a person. He was a very perfected person, the Rambam says. And he said, first the thing he said is like, wow, I can't believe somebody would do that. That's what the Rambam says. Like, he's amazed that there's a human being who would be so like disgraceful and so brazen. And then he says, wow, I don't care. This doesn't bother me. And the Rambam writes, this person reached the highest level of humility. Because he like totally inside had no turmoil. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu reached higher levels than this. Klal Yisrael gave him a run for his money. Right, they were always complaining and everything, and they were accusing him of everything when he was the one who gave them everything in life. Right? So because Moshe acted that way, he was able to bring down the midos of Hashem, that Hashem acts that way to us. We insult Hashem. We call Hashem names. We blame him for all of our problems. You know what Hashem says? I love you anyway. I'm still going to take care of you. I'm still going to clean you up. So it's in the schus that Moshe was an anav that Hashem acts with anava towards us. Amazing thing. Now, then it says, "Vayered Hashem ba'anan, vayisasevi Mosham, vayikra b'shem Hashem." Hashem came down in a cloud, and now is giving over this mysterious formula, "Vayikra b'shem Hashem." Now, who called b'shem Hashem? This is really tricky. According to the Gemara, Hashem called Hashem. Okay, just shot and psukim. Vayikra b'shem Hashem, according to the Gemara, seems to be that Hashem called on his higher midos. You know, it's like Lahavdil, a parent who's really fed up with their kids and needs to count to 10 backwards, take a walk around the house, around the block, and find within them something that could deal with the kids. Lahavdil elef alfei havdalos, Hashem's regular midos sometimes, Klal Yisrael really forces Hashem to call on the highest midas that he has, just pure love, pure ava. And now comes an encounter that's absolutely frightening. And this is why we scream this. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody knows this. Ask around people. Why do we go, Vayavar Hashem Abanav Vayikro? Why do we do that? That's not even the Yud Gimel midas. It's not a football game. This is not the way we daven, usually. We don't scream. Especially, you want to scream at Kaddish, that's Kaddish. You want to scream the Yud Gimel Midas. This is the intro. You know what this intro is? This intro was the most frightful experience ever in the history of the world. Moshe Rabbeinu was there. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, show me your face. Hashem said, if you see my face, you're going to die. I'm going to turn my back to you, Kibiyachol. I'm going to shine a light on you that's going to save Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. I'm going to give you a formula to fix all your problems, and be very careful. And Moshe Rabbeinu is there, and this awesome experience, the highest level of encounter ever that took place, happens here. That's why we scream it. We scream it because you can't even understand what's about to happen unless you scream it. Like, it's just awesome. It's awesome. So you say, Hashem passed upon the face of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikra, who called this? Who read this? Two pshatim. Moshe Rabbeinu, but also Hashem. Hashem read this. I mean, this is, I'm just telling you, Pashup Pshat. It's a machlokas, Rambam. I don't want to get into it, but Pashta says they both were saying this. Okay, and now we have the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachmim. They were presented to us, this formula. Okay, now in a few minutes, I'm going to give you a crash course on these Yud Gimel Midas, and now it's going to really add a lot of meaning and a lot of oomph to our Yud Gimel Midas. So let's do it. First of all, where did the Yud Gimel Midas Shel Rachmim start from? So let's count. Where should we start from? Any guesses? Hashem, Hashem, that's what you would say. It's not a bad guess, because the Bali Tosfos say that. However, I'm going to tell you a klal that I was makabel from my Rabbein. That when the Kabbalists, the Mekubalim, tell us something, that we have a Masorah in the Zohar for that thing, okay? And already we have a discussion in the Rishonim about that thing, we go with the Mekubalim, okay? And the Mekubalim, we're talking the Arizal, we're talking the Vilna Gaon, we're talking the Ramchal. They all tell us that Hashem, Hashem is not part of the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachman. It's an intro. It's an intro. And I want to explain why it's an important intro. It's a very powerful intro. Rashi says, Ala Torah, what is Hashem, Hashem? It's two names of Hashem. I am Hashem before you do an Aveira. I am Hashem after you do an Aveira. Can I ask you a question? What does that mean? What does it mean? I am Hashem before you did an Aveira. I am Hashem after an Aveira. So first of all, it means you can't affect me. A lot of times we put up our dukes and we're punching and we think we're hurting Hashem, right? The big relief is you didn't do anything to Hashem. Hashem's the same Hashem before you did a chait and after you did a chait, okay? You can't do anything to Hashem. But better than that is you can't ruin your relationship with Hashem. This is the most important thing you have to remember. I am Hashem, meaning I love you the same before you did an Aveira. I am the same Hashem after you did an Aveira. The Yisod of Hashem Hashem is the intro to how much Hashem loves us. You will not ruin how much I love you. I love you so much that I love you the same before the Chet and I love you after the Chet. And this is one of our big problems, is that we think that Hashem has it in for us. We think that Hashem is out to get us. A person has to know that Hashem loves them the same. In terms of sheer love, the love is the same. Hashem loves you before, Hashem loves you now. And that's an intro to why Hashem wants you to succeed. If Hashem didn't love you, he just loves whoever's really good to him. So then, he said, I had enough with you. I don't want you to succeed. Goodbye. No, it doesn't work like that. Hashem, Hashem. You are the Hashem before I made these mistakes. You are the same Hashem who loves me the same after these mistakes. Once you start that way, you have a very positive attitude and you know that Hashem loves you. Now we're going to start the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachmim, and I'm going to explain to you again. These are based on early sources. You could find other Mefarshim, but I'm trying to give you some user-friendly ideas based on what I was mekabel from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal, based on a kuntres or tzafon that my Rebbe looked over, and based on Rav Shimshon Pinkus, who also takes a stab at being mevarer these inyanim. The first midah is kale. Kale is how much Hashem loves us, is the word kale. Kale is love, but kale is also power, right? Micha mocha ba'elim. Who is like you, Hashem, in the power? So which one is it? Is it love or power? The answer is it's pure, unbridled, powerful love. The only way I could explain it is Niagara Falls. Okay, Niagara Falls is nice. You know, you want to, Niagara Falls, shout out to Canada and also America. We have both, this is our achdus, Niagara Falls. I should use this mashal more often. It will bring everyone together. Okay, So you have Niagara Falls, right? Now, Niagara Falls is overwhelming. It's like you wanted a cup of water, and imagine someone says, oh, you want a cup of water, and they throw Niagara Falls on you, okay? Right? So that's called powerful, powerful love. It's a love that would knock you over. It's like, whoa, this is called kale. It's the most powerful love, and that's why it's so dangerous. When Moshe Rabbeinu was about to encounter Hashem, Hashem said, if I give you too much of this, you are going to be kaput. There's going to be no more Moshe Rabbeinu. So Hashem had to create a pathway, Vayavor. Vayavor is Hashem created a pipeline where this Niagara Falls could come in a user-friendly form, that it shouldn't topple us over. For all those who like gematrias, I'm not going to explain this, but some of the older boys will. Vayavor is gematria chesed and gvura, which is a mixture of chesed is love, and gvura is controlling and containing, keeping it there. So Hashem loves us in the most intense way. And that's the whole Yud Gimel Midas is based on this. Kale, kale. And that's why, what's the first word in Kale Melech? Yoshev al Kisei Rachmim? Kale. Right? The intro to every Kale Melech Yoshev, to every Yud Gimel Midas is calling Hashem Kale. And we call him that twice in this intro. Kale Melech Yoshev al Kisei Rachmim. And Kale Horeisa Lanu Lomar Shloshesrei. Why are we calling Hashem Kale over here? You know why? Because we're saying, Hashem, I know you love me. Like, you would give me Niagara Falls. And you start, before you say the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachmim, go, Hashem, you're not going to let me down. You are a kale. You know who said this? Esther. Esther Hamalka, when she was stuck. Rashi brings it, Al HaTorah. Esther was stuck, and she had to go speak to Achashverosh, and she went into a place with Avodah Zarah, and the Shekhinah left her. And you know what she said? Kaylee, Kaylee, Lama Zavtani. My kale, where are you? Why'd she use the word kale? You know why? She's saying like this. Hashem, you said you love me. You said you love me. Where are you? You. That's what she was doing. Some of there was an echo in that room. A big, you know, Avodah Zarah palace. Anyway, that's what's going on with kale. When you say the word kale, you force, if you could use such a word, you force Hashem to call upon a bris, a covenant, of him focusing on how much he loves us and forgetting about the things that we're falling short on. Rachum is a little different. Rachum, when we have rachamim needs two parties. You can't have mercy. You can love just the air. I love, right? I love. I just want to do. But you, Avraham Avinu stood outside and he wanted to do. He just loved. He loved. He was waiting for people. Rachamim is where you see something and you connect with it. You relate to it. You see somebody whose shoes are tattered. You go, oh, and you feel so bad. And you give him $50 to buy, or $100 to buy a pair of shoes. There's a connection. Rachum is where Hashem sees us on our level. Rav Shimshon Pinkus gives a great mashal for this. He says, imagine Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is walking through the halls of Adaras HaTorah. Right? Rav Shimshon Pinkus didn't say Adaras HaTorah. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was like the biggest Baal Musar, you see him, oh, Rabbi Yisrael, could I borrow you for a second? Yeah, sure. So Rabbi Yisrael walks in. He goes, can you pick a tie that matches this suit for Rosh Hashanah for me? Right? This is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who's been preparing during Elul! Right? He's the king of the Musar movement. And you're asking him to pick a tie. And then Rabbi Yisrael patiently clashes. A little too much red for Rosh Hashanah. Mickey Mouse not appropriate. Perfect. Nice white tie. There you go. Let me make it for you. Right? That's called Hashem going to my level. Hashem, I'm still not totally on board. Hashem, there are things that while I'm even clapping al chait, I'm thinking about sukkis, and there are things I feel guilty. I'm saying sorry for things that I know I'm going to do in a week. Now, I'm afraid to tell you this, but Hashem knows that, and Hashem is with you. Meaning, Hashem knows that you're young, he knows that I'm still young, and he knows that we're not full and finished, and Hashem says, I hear. but let's cut a deal. Just come a little closer and we'll cut a deal. I'm with you. I'm with you. That's Rachum. Rachum is where Hashem comes down to where we are. And even though we shouldn't exactly be there, Hashem is with us and dealing with us. Chanon is where Hashem gives things out for free. He gives things out for free. Actually, this is the biggest otzer in Shemayim, is the otzer of Matnas Chinam, that Hashem gives things without even looking, just like giving and giving and giving and giving. He just loves us so much that he gives and gives and gives. What's Erech? Erech Apayim. Erech is buying time. Sometimes we need a couple years to figure things out, right? Sometimes we need 10 years to figure things out. Everyone always asks me, how am I supposed to do tshuva? I'm not ready for all this. The answer is slow. Hashem knows that. And Hashem, in theory, if the test was without a curve, would say, you got a 50 on the test this year. Or Hashem would say, you are a work in progress. I'll tell you what. I see that you're moving. Your stock is going up. So let's give you more time. In 5 years' time, I think you're going to finally realize that people hate you for speaking Lashon Hara. It's going to come back to haunt you, and you're going to make a Kabbalah to finally watch your mouth. But I see it's going to take you 5 years. And you're asking for those 5 years? You got it. That's Erech. And Apayim is that these things happen over and over again. Every year we come to Hashem and say sorry for the exact same things. And it's very interesting. In the bracha on Yom Kippur, we say, Hashem is mochalas kol shana vishana, every year. So I once heard from a Talmud Chacham, why does it mention every year? What is it? Just say, Hashem is mochalas. No, it's a big chiddush. Last year we came with the same garbage. And now we're coming with the exact same garbage, and Hashem is still mochalas. Shana vishana, like I always tell my kids, like, how many times already did I tell you not to do this? Again and again. But Hashem loves us that much, that since we're doing tshuva, he's with us. He understands, and he's sympathetic to what's going on over here. Rav Chesed. What does Rav Chesed mean? Rav Chesed means even somebody who doesn't have schuyos, who really doesn't have enough schuyos, Hashem has a lot of compassion on them, and he's Rav Chesed with them. But it's a little more than that. We're gonna finish on time. Don't worry, that's the rule. We just have to make a game plan. Rav Chesed also means that Hashem doesn't discriminate. He gives to everyone. He's expansive. He doesn't have like a clique of people that he likes. He's Rav Chesed. He's expansive. What's MS? What's MS over here? MS sounds like a stira, right? We were just said if you got a curve on the test, you didn't really get 100. They bumped your score up for 25 points. What's the MS over here? The answer is that sometimes we are really true people. We have a very confusing world. But if Hashem would just look at who we really are, he'd see we're great people. And Hashem chooses to find the MS within us. He says, this guy is real. It's true, sometimes his friends push him here, push him there. But Hashem starts looking at us really. And in the MS, there's a lot of rachman. In who we really are, there's a lot of rachman. That's one pshat in MS. Another pshat in MS, which it seems like the Vilna Gaon goes with, is Hashem makes it really happen down here, all this rachman. Meaning very nice, Hashem loves us, but down here, it just seems so unrealistic that we could get away with this and move on. Hashem finds a way to bring this as truth down here in our world. What's Notzer Chesed? Notzer Chesed, the word Notzer comes from the word Tzinor, which is pipe. Hashem gives us things in little bits that we could digest it. He doesn't throw us everything at once, like we said, throw us the Niagara Falls, but he gives us it in bite sizes so that it's digestible. When you encounter Hashem, and even the love of Hashem, it needs to be broken down. And Alafim. Alafim is, he sends it out through the generations. Hashem spreads. There are things that your great-grandmother was saying Tehillim, and you're raking it in. because of her. Hashem spreads things out, and for your children as well. These are things you didn't deserve, but Hashem gives it to you because He loves you. Because your great-grandparents did something, you shouldn't deserve it. And then, no say avon pesha chata and vinake. No say avon is Hashem carries things. Avonos are averis that are caused by taiva. And what Hashem says is, it's true, he did that wrong. He's trying to do tshuva, and look, he's about taiva. Taiva is a way Hashem could look at you and say, you have an excuse. Again, you have to try to do tshuva, but in the process, we need to buy time over here. So Hashem says, he has raging hormones, he's this, he's that, I hear. If you buy time. That's no say avon. Pesha is where you rebel against Hashem. Okay, that's much worse, because you don't have a taiva for that. So here is something amazing. What Hashem can do over here, and again, this is not anything, none of this I made up myself, okay? So if it sounds radical, don't blame me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a very incredible system over here. He says like this, Hashem says, yeah, he's rebellious against me, but it's because he has leadership capabilities. It's because he really just wants to become something in life. He's just misdirected. And Hashem turns his pesha, his rebellion, into a shefa, into a flow of potential. He's willing to see he's a crazy guy, but we can work with him. He's not really rebelling against me. He just likes to flex his muscles. And if we give him time, he'll figure things out. And chata are the people who are careless. Like, careless people, like, you know, when you have kids and they're always spilling the milk, it gets very annoying, right? But obviously, the big limud tzchus is, what can you do? He's careless. He doesn't... Kola am bishkaga, everyone's careless. And nake is where the finished product comes out of the factory and you're squeaky clean. You're totally clean. It's the success of this whole process of Hashem bringing this beautiful system called the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachmim, and then Mazel Tov, all of our veris go away, and we should all be zocha to tshuva, but we should all be zocha to Rachmei Shemayim. Hashem's helping us succeed. Just do what you can. Abba l'tayr mesayin asay. Shalav igmar chasimitzim.